This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of VSiN Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, where it is lively. The out-of-towners have made their way to this beautiful property, and they are ready for some madness, as are we over these next 4 hours here on VSiN Primetime. And make sure to watch us, vsin.com/watch, the VSiN Watch app. You can listen 24/7 on Sirius XM channel 158. And you can hit me up on Twitter, at Femi Abebefe. And I'm rolling alongside my man, Ben Stevens, in for our guy, Will Hill. Hit up Ben on Twitter, at Ben Scott Stevens. Ben, it is March Madness Eve. How we doing on this Wednesday night, my friend?
Femi, you know that I am doing sensationally well. Tomorrow is a celebration. Tomorrow is a holiday. It begins the greatest two-day stretch on the calendar each and every year, the round of 64, Thursday and Friday. But the madness is well underway. Our third of four first four games as we speak right now inside UD Arena in Dayton, Ohio. We had some sensational games last night in our first of 2 days in the first four. Maybe not the prettiest game between Texas and NC State, but a very thrilling ending. And we are seeing that play out here between the battle to become the 16 seed in the South region between Prairie View A&M and Lehigh. Femi, you and I work together on the weekends, often with some live wagering opportunities on a live bet Sunday. We were together on Selection Sunday for Championship Sunday, all of our conference tournament title games. And you and I were together for perhaps maybe my favorite sporting event in the last 5 years, the Ivy League Championship.
Day
we will all remember for TJ Power and the Penn Quakers. I feel like we are bringing that same mojo and vibes into the NCAA tournament as well.
Hey, some might say we got the power. That, I swear, will be my last pun of the show over the next 4 hours here. But what a game that was, as we saw Penn, the Quakers, and Fran McCaffrey punch their ticket to the big dance. Sorry to those of you who are looking to see Yale in the field of 68, maybe next year. But we have a lot to get to over these 4 hours, and we have our entire crew behind the glass here at the Circa Resort and Casino, our producer Corey York with us on the ones and twos. And Ben, over these next 4 hours, we have five guests who will be joining us to talk all things NCAA tournament starting in less than 15 minutes. In the next segment, we'll be joined by Ian Cameron, sports betting analyst, Wizard Sports Picks, the Ice Guys. He's going to help us handicap the NCAA tournament. And then 30 minutes from now at 7:30 Eastern time, betting analyst, our VSiN teammate, PJ Glasser, will check in to give us his thoughts on the first four game tonight between Miami of Ohio and SMU, as well as the round of 64, which tips off tomorrow. And then at 8 o'clock Eastern, college sports betting analyst for the Action Network, Michael Calabrese, will join us to give us the sharp angle for your bets and bracket pools as we all get set. I know people still filling out the brackets. I have a bracket right here. Blank. Yeah. I have a bracket that has been filled out, but just seeing a bracket and seeing all the possibilities, it absolutely warms my heart. So we'll talk some bracket pool stuff and bets with Michael Calabrese at 8 o'clock Eastern time. At 8:30 Eastern, we'll be joined by Nate Hornung, senior writer and betting analyst for bettingnews.com. Guess what we're talking? March Madness. And then to wrap it all up, our fifth and final guest, maybe the most important one, our VSiN teammate, the college basketball aficionado himself, Greg Hoops Peterson, will join us to begin hour number three at 9 o'clock Eastern to talk all things bets and brackets on March Madness Eve. We are fired up to be with you guys here on this Wednesday night on VSiN Primetime. So let's go ahead and get into our VSiN Primetime game of the night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Oh, baby, all eyes, Ben, will be on Dayton, Ohio, as all eyes right now are on Dayton, Ohio, as you mentioned it, with the first four, Lehigh with a 20-15 lead on Prairie View A&M. But the real main event later on this evening at 9:15 Eastern time, or 25 minutes after the conclusion of Prairie View A&M and Lehigh, will be Miami of Ohio and SMU. And I'm looking at the betting market right now. You see SMU out of the ACC a 7.5-point favorite against 31-1 Miami of Ohio. A lot of controversy, the Red Hawks polarizing throughout the month of February and in the early portion of March, but they are here. They are indeed in the field of 68, the total sitting at 161.5. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this game. We'll, of course, continue to handicap this one over the next couple of hours since we have some time before it tips off. But this is what everyone wanted to see. Is Miami of Ohio actually tournament worthy? And we're going to find out later tonight, Ben.
That's a perfect summation of it all, Femi. Can Miami, Ohio match its level of expectation now officially in the big dance? Do they look the part of a tournament team despite a perfect and unblemished regular season at 31-0 following a MAC quarterfinal loss to UMass? What is really fascinating, Femi, is the idea behind this Travis Steele-led Red Hawks club. Of course, to me, they almost feel like America's team. We love that plucky underdog. We love the sensational story and the narrative of history that has not been done prior, either at a basketball program, in a conference, or in large part, the last half decade of college hoops. About 53% of the public betting handle on DraftKings right now likes Miami as the underdog tonight, catching 7.5 points against SMU out of the ACC. I was really fascinated to look at those betting splits that you can get with a VSiN Pro subscription and see where that action is coming in, how the sharper sportsbook where you sit in Circa might feel about this Miami, Ohio team. I think the sharps are often looking at teams where the power ratings and the algorithms do not naturally match up with the narrative itself and look to fade. But 55% of the handle right now on Miami as the underdog to keep this game close and competitive. My heart, Femi, believes in Travis Steele and his Hawks. Mm. And my basketball acumen and perhaps handicapping skill that I hope is pretty good as we get ready for the round of 64 also believes in Travis Steele and his Hawks. Hello. For Miami to keep this game close and maybe just maybe pull off the outright upset to get to the round of 64 in the Midwest region as the 11th seed.
I absolutely love that. I mean, it's an interesting story. I am someone who has no bet in this game. We'll see what happens. Obviously, this is a show that's a live betting show. There will be opportunities for us to go ahead and strike as we will be on the air during the majority of that game. I'm assuming the game will end a little bit after we're off the air, and that one will be a Dustin Sweetelson conclusion there on cashing out a little bit later on this evening. But man, the story of Miami of Ohio is really good. And also too, selfishly, and I guess more so, I'm like annoyed on behalf of the Red Hawks. If they lose, and especially if they don't cover, there's going to be a lot of noise about how, oh, they didn't deserve to be there, and this is why we don't put in teams that haven't beaten anyone, and strength of schedule, and quad one and quad two wins. I don't want to hear any of that. So as someone who has no money, and we'll see what happens once we get into the game and see what the betting markets look like, as someone right now who has nothing in the game, I am rooting for the Miami of Ohio Redhawks. Like, I just don't want to hear the nonsense from everyone that wants to go out there and stump for a 500 high major college basketball team to get into the tournament so we can watch them play in Dayton. Like, come on. So my heart is with the Redhawks. We'll see where my bankroll is, but that will be a little bit later on this evening. As we sit here, though, Ben, on March Madness Eve, and we will be all college basketball over these next 4 hours because we absolutely love the NCAA tournament. Do you foresee yourself having a big card come Thursday, Friday, a medium-sized card, or are you going to be looking at a smaller card where you're kind of more so picking your spots in the round of 64?
I already have 5 opening round of 64 bets sprinkled in between Thursday and Friday. And for me, Femi, it might not be the largest card for many. For me, having 5 bets already feels pretty strong. And I will add to them. There are some plays that I have in my bracket. For instance, South Florida pulling off the upset over Louisville that I just haven't bet the Bulls as the underdog. I know that's silly, but I have another angle for that game. It was a 6.5-point spread before the news around Louisville star freshman point guard Mykael Brown not playing tomorrow in the round of 64, now just a 4.5-point number. But there are a couple of bracket picks that I have for an underdog, 2-play spoiler, potentially pull 1, if not 2 upsets, that I just have not followed through on the line. Maybe I missed the best of the number. It's just kind of how I see the numbers first and foremost, where my bracket feels a little bit different than my bets. I actually have a lot of totals and a lot of overs, which I don't necessarily love. We work together through a lot of this college basketball season. Yep. I often lean under first, and then I start to go to the over. But I really just start to break things down stylistically, how these teams match up against one another. You know, I love the term three-point rate, how many field goal tries overall come from beyond that three-point line. In today's climate in college basketball, what is the pace? What is the tempo? And then the efficiency beyond that. So I already have five. But I guess if you follow my bracket in my own head there, I have plenty of underdogs keeping games close as well over the next 2 days in the round of 64.
Ben, we actually have some breaking news with our VSiN primetime game of the night. This one coming from ESPN's Pete Famel, does a great job covering college sports there. This is as it pertains to SMU and Miami. BJ Edwards will not play in tonight's game for SMU against Miami of Ohio. This is from Pete Famel once again, per a source. SMU is optimistic about his availability if they advance. Corey Washington will play for the Mustangs. He'd been considered questionable. So once again, no BJ Edwards, one of their star players for this SMU Mustangs team, averaged 12 points per game, just under 5 assists per game. We will see where the betting market goes right now. I'm going to actually pop into the app real quick here to see if there has been some line movement or if this is something the betting market has already anticipated, because sometimes that's how things work. But let's go ahead and look at this. I'm seeing it right now. We're still sitting 7.5. So it looks like maybe people might have thought that this news was coming. A little bit of money has come in on the under, it looks like. Now we're down to 161 in some places. I even see a 160.5 out there as well. But once again, Pete Thamel of ESPN reporting that BJ Edwards of SMU will not play in tonight's first four game in Dayton against the Miami of Ohio Redhawks. We will continue to keep you posted on where the market moves side and total with our VSiN primetime game of the night. But coming up next, Ian Cameron with bets for March Madness.
Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have really gone crazy with this one. I'm being told for just $29.99, you can get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks through the tournament, public betting data for every single game, plus sharp tools, projections, articles, and more, which means every day you wait is an opportunity missed. Just click the link in the description to get started. It's March, baby. All right. Now back to the show.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Abepfe, Ben Stevens, hanging out with you guys on this Wednesday night. Some might call it March Madness Eve as we celebrate here on the Sports Betting Network. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by our teammate, PJ Glasser, betting analyst, host of Game Day Garage, Hoops and Five, to give us his bets for March Madness. But joining us right now as we're kicking off all of the bets that you should expect for tonight and later this weekend with our guy, sports betting analyst. You see his work on Wizard Sports Picks. Also, the Ice Guys, for those of you who like to bet the NHL, it is Ian Cameron joining us here via the Progressive Guest Line on VSiN Primetime. Ian, thanks for hanging with us. As always, we really do appreciate it. Before we get into your bets for the round of 64, our VSiN Primetime game of the night is Miami of Ohio against SMU. We just got the news that SMU will be without one of their lead guards here. The betting market right now has the Mustangs a 7.5-point favorite, total 161.5. How do you see that one playing outside in total?
Yeah, this is a really good first four game. In fact, of the two games yesterday and the two games tonight in the first four, from just a viewing standpoint and a fan standpoint, I was most excited about SMU, Miami, Ohio, probably because we're going to see points. Neither of these teams are great defensively. And you talk about SMU and the player they're missing, BJ Edwards. He's actually a very good on-ball defender for them. Like, he obviously contributes offensively and is a good scorer, but he's a pretty good defender too. And this is already an SMU team that's lacking a little bit on the defensive end of the basketball court. And certainly their numbers have shown that over the course of the season. So Miami should be able to score against this SMU team. Now, SMU is led by the great Boopie Miller. We know how great he's been throughout the course of the season. And Miami's had their own defensive issues. It's probably a high-scoring game, so I'd probably look over that 161.5. But I'm going to make a case to take the dog here. When you look at how this sets up, Miami, Ohio had the perfect regular season, undefeated. They get knocked down a peg, suffer that first loss in the quarterfinals of the MAC tournament against UMass. It's a perfect opportunity for Travis Steele and his team to just hit the reset button, wipe the slate clean, get excited, get a game plan together for SMU. Let's not forget and lose sight of the fact the location of this game, Dayton, Ohio, UD Arena. There should be a decent following here for Miami, Ohio, and the Red Hawk faithful turning out to support them. And now we got Miami, Ohio back in their preferred point spread role as a dog. You know, the target was on their back, laying points, and we started to see them struggle ATS down the stretch as favorites. Now we got them back in the underdog role against a team that struggles defensively. I think they're very live in this game. I'll take the points, and I think this is a high-scoring game as well.
To Ian's point, UD Arena in Dayton, Ohio, depending on traffic, only about a 45-minute to an hour drive from Millett Hall on the campus of Miami, Ohio, in Oxford, Ohio. It should be a raucous environment tonight in Dayton in our fourth and final game of the first four. Ian, let's go from the first four to the round of 64. In the very first game always, in the opening round on Thursday, feels like an extra celebration. Tomorrow, it's Ohio State and TCU, the 8-9 split in the East region. Ian, for me, at first I liked TCU because of their marquee wins this season. Then I was diving into it, thinking the Buckeyes and their improved play over the last 2.5-3 weeks, they might have a slight edge here. I have determined, Ian, that whatever way I bet this game, whatever way I think it is going to go, I have never been more wrong. What is your approach to the very first game in the round of 64 between the Horned Frogs and the Buckeyes?
Yeah, Ben, it's a good matchup. It really is, because you got Ohio State playing their best basketball down the stretch. Jake Diebler's team really, really played great, their best late in the season. Jamie Dixon's team, I thought, started to get some things together later in the year, as well as starting to put together a better finish to the season. When you look at this TCU team, they've got a nice mix of, you know, they got guards, they've got a little bit of size down low. They play pretty decent defense. David Punch, you know, is an outstanding player for this Horned Frogs team. He is definitely a guy that can score routinely and just great offensive instincts. I think for Ohio State, there's a couple of things that I worry about with them here in this favorites role. Now, again, down the stretch, they played great. They gave Michigan a tough game in the Big Ten tournament. This is rarefied air for Jake Diebler. You know, NCAA tournament, it's a new stage for him. Jamie Dixon's been here, done that a bunch of times, and this goes all the way back to when he coached at Pitt many years ago. So definitely there's going to be some level of coaching experience advantage here for Jamie. TCU's been very good in the underdog role. And I was really impressed with how throughout the season, TCU stepped up in class and punched above their weight. When you look at early in the season, they played Michigan and only lost by 4. They beat the Florida Gators outright as a dog on a neutral court. They beat Wisconsin outright as a dog on a neutral court. They had some really good results early in the season in non-conference play. They took Kansas to overtime at Fog Allen during the regular season. I like the makeup of this TCU team, a very tough-nosed team. They had a nice win down the stretch against Texas Tech. Now, this is post-Toppin injury, Texas Tech, but Texas Tech was rolling, and then TCU came in there and beat them. I like the way they played down the stretch. Dixon's been a good underdog. I'm taking TCU here, +2.5.
Yeah, it should be a really good game, and I absolutely love that. That's the first game that we have tomorrow to set the tone for what should be a really, really fun weekend. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Abebefe, Ben Stevens hanging out with Ian Cameron, sports betting analyst, Wizard Sports Picks, the Ice Guys on Twitter at BobanoBets. How about the game also in the early window, Troy taking on Nebraska, looking at the betting market right now for that one. It feels like there's been some interest here on Troy against the Cornhuskers. We're still sitting 13 total at 137.
Yeah, obviously Nebraska, a lot of pressure. This team trying to make history, first ever NCAA tournament win, and expected to get it, obviously, as a 13-point favorite. But I'm not necessarily they'll cash tickets for their backers. You look at Troy under Scott Cross. They faced a non-conference slate where they tested themselves. They fared reasonably well. They're a pretty tenacious defensive team. And there's still some issues with Nebraska scoring consistently. Nebraska's excellent defensively. And so Troy could have their issues, you know, putting the ball in the basket. That's not necessarily their strong suit. So this probably could be a lower scoring game, certainly with the total at 138, I lean under. But I think it's a few too many points. And I didn't love Nebraska's form late in the season. It seems like after they lost that first game after starting 20-0, they just weren't that same team for the mayor, Fred Hoiberg. Just think it's a few too many to ask for Nebraska with a little bit of pressure for them to get this much hyped, unexpected, and anticipated first ever tournament win for the program. So I'll take Troy here, +13.
The Huskers just 2-6 against teams above 500 since the middle of January over their final 2 months entering the NCAA tournament. Scott Cross and his Troy Trojans, 22-11 for what it's worth, of course, champions of the Sun Belt for a second consecutive year. Ian, nothing more that I love than when I'm looking up and down a betting card and having one of the guests and analysts getting us ready for the NCAA tournament in the round of 64 than a guy who has the chutzpah to back a 16 seed against the number one overall seed in Duke. What do you like about the way Siena faces the Blue Devils tomorrow that maybe the Jerry McNamara Saints can keep this game just slightly more competitive than expected?
Yeah, full disclosure, I'm asking for Siena not to lose by 30. Okay, not for Siena to win the basketball game. Just want to make sure. But I think it's just a few too many points. Like, I think Duke wins this by, you know, 20, 24 even. I don't know about 30. And there's a reason for that. Well, Jerry McNamara has done a great job. And I expect him to have his team ready. They are undermanned. I think they are going to struggle to score against this Duke team. There's no question. But when you look at Duke, they've had injuries coming out of the ACC, in the ACC tournament and coming out of it. They've got bigger fish to fry, another game on Saturday. This is a very reasonable, realistic expectation that John Shire just says, you know what, we're up by 20, put the reserves in with 4 minutes to go and move on to the next game. That's something you have to kind of factor in, you know, if this game does get out of hand. So I think Siena can stay in a big number. To me, with everything we've seen from a personnel standpoint with Duke coming into this tournament, just for me at least, might be asking a bit too much to be laying 27.5 in this first game.
Ian, we got about a couple minutes left here. I want to get your thoughts on who's going to win the national title and who's in your final four. But in about 40 seconds, can you give us the handicap on why you like VCU against Carolina?
Yeah, VCU to me, obviously North Carolina down the stretch. The Wilson injury was significant. It's just VCU's playing their best ball. They found it. And it's a coach I trust, and Phil Martelli Jr.'s done a great job with this program. So I think VCU very live there, getting the plus 2.5 number in that game. There's one total I want to throw out, too, because I don't want this segment to end without mentioning it, because it might be my favorite total. It's Penn, Illinois. I like the over, 150.5. I think that is a great over. Penn can score. Fran McCaffrey will play fast. Illinois, I don't think they've got any answers for what Illinois wants to do at the offensive end of the basketball court. It's not a great Penn defense anyway. And we've seen that throughout the course of the season. I thought the total was reasonable. This isn't in the high 150s or 160s like some of the other games. So really like Penn, Illinois over.
In about 20 seconds, Ian, who's in your final four? Who cuts down the nets in Indianapolis?
As far as winning it all, I'm just going to say, I'm going to buy in finally. I'm just going to give you a champion. I'm going to say Arizona finally. I think they have a chance, and I think it's someone from the Big 12 because I think that conference was great, and I would say Iowa State's got a real shot too. Very impressed with what I've seen from them.
There we go. Hey, I should be going to Cyclones Anonymous, so that is music to my ears to hear someone talk about Iowa State in that light. He is Ian Cameron, sports betting analyst, Wizard Sports Picks, the Ice Guys, Bobano Bets on Twitter. Ian, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Good luck with the bets, and happy March Madness, buddy.
You too, guys. Good luck with your wagers, and thanks for having me on.
Ian going with the Wildcats. Bear down to cut down the nets. Who does PJ Glasser have winning the national title? He'll give us that answer next here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is Femi Bepepe, Ben Stevens here on VSiN Primetime. Thank you to Ian Cameron, who joined us in the last segment, giving us his bets and national title winner for the NCAA tournament. We are, though, at halftime to update you guys on the score in the first four in Dayton in the Battle of 16s. Lehigh with a 29-27 lead against Prairie View A&M in the right-to-be Gator bait. The winner of this one will be taking on the Florida Gators coming up in the South region. I guess I shouldn't say that. We've seen the 16 be frisky, although in today's day and age, I'm not so sure that will be a thing anymore unless Matt Painter is now coaching the Florida Gators, which he is not. But joining us right now to keep the good vibes rolling and to keep the bets rolling, it is our VSiN teammate, betting analyst, Game Day Garage, Hoops in Five, the one and only PJ Glasser, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. You can hit him up on Twitter at PJGlasser9. PJ, happy March Madness to you and yours, my friend. Let's get right into the bets, because I know you have a lot of thoughts and a lot of opinions on the bets and what's going to happen in the Final Four, who's going to win the national title. We were talking during the break about this Nebraska-Troy game. It feels like bettors have gravitated towards that game quite a bit, where Troy has started to become a more of a popular underdog. Where do you stand between Troy and Nebraska?
Yeah, I mean, I was telling you guys off air, I do like Troy to cover the game. I got him at 13.5. I know it at some other shops, you know, Nebraska, you can get them at 12, 12.5. I like Troy to cover the number. I think the line of thinking, Nebraska's never won an NCAA tournament game ever in their history. It's hard for me to imagine they're going to win that game by 15, 20 points. They certainly could. They're a high variance 3-point shooting team. And if Samford, Hoiberg, those guys are knocking in their shots, they could run Troy out of the gym. When you're trying to do something for the first time ever, and it's been this long, I just think it's going to be a struggle. And I think it's going to be a close single digit victory for Nebraska. So I like Troy to keep it close within the number. As I was telling you guys, though, I did take Nebraska in Survivor for tomorrow. I'm rolling the dice. I don't love it. I think Vandy's going to take him out in the next round. So I like Troy to cover, but I do think Nebraska wins the game.
That would be a perfect scenario, though, for one PJ Glasser. Troy plus 13.5. Nebraska wins by 6. Survivor is good. You feel pretty optimistic about what Vandy could do to the Cornhuskers in the round of 32. PJ, last year it felt like one of those trendy underdog double-digit picks was a High Point team that won 29 games a season ago, the champions of the Big South, their first ever appearance in the NCAA tournament. And it looks like, once again, a lot of people think the Panthers could play spoiler to a 5 seed out of the Big Ten in that West region in Wisconsin. Just a 10.5-point spread now in favor of the Badgers. Expected to be a very high-scoring game between Wisconsin and High Point. How do you see this round of 64 matchup playing out on Thursday?
Ben, I took High Point last year. It didn't work out for me, but I'm coming right back to the well this year against the Badgers. I took the points. I took the money line. I think this is a bad matchup for Wisconsin. High Point is number one in college basketball in steals forced per game. There isn't a single team in the Big Ten that's in a top 100. Now, the Big Ten's very good at taking care of the basketball, but they also don't have a lot of defenses that really pressure you and turn you over. And that's what High Point does. They're also top 10 in the country in points per game. So not only do they force turnovers, they score a lot. Wisconsin, as we know, they jack a lot of threes. They're third in the country in points coming off 3-point shots. So this is the kind of game where I think you take a shot with the dog because of how much variance there is. High Point can get themselves extra possession. They score at a high rate. And if Wisconsin has an off shooting night like they did against Illinois in the Big Ten tournament, the difference in that game, fellas, Illinois in 45 minutes of basketball forced one turnover off of Wisconsin. I promise you, if they play 45 minutes against High Point, they will not force one turnover. So I think Wisconsin, if they don't shoot the ball well, Panthers got a really good shot in that game. So I took a plus the points and on the money line as well.
Ooh, a little money line action with High Point. Absolutely love that. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bepfe, Ben Stevens hanging out with PJ Glasser, our VSiN teammate. Game Day Garage, Hoops and Five on Twitter at PJ Glasser 9. You have other bets, but I want to ask you this question just from like a more macro sense here, because going into the tournament, a lot of the, I guess, perception is that, hey, like, we're going to get a lot of chalk. We got chalk last year, NIL, portal, yada, yada, yada. This is the new day in college basketball. I'm not so sure I subscribe to that theory, but I understand where people are coming from. If there is a 1 seed that you think is vulnerable at some point this tournament, maybe it's this first weekend, maybe it's a Sweet 16 or an Elite 8, who do you think is the most vulnerable 1 seed in the field of 68?
I think it's probably Duke just because they have the toughest region. I think Florida is the worst of the 1 seeds, but, you know, I mean, Illinois is such a high variance team with how great they are on offense, but they struggle on defense. Nebraska is the 4 seed that everybody wants. UNC doesn't have Caleb Wilson. So there's just not a lot of firepower in Florida's region, while Duke has to deal with all those Hall of Fame head coaches. And you got to deal with so many star players in that region as well. And they don't have their point guard. So I think because of the path and because Duke by far has the toughest 8-9 game, right? I mean, we're looking at Arizona's 8-9 game, Utah State, Nova, really no issue there. Michigan, Utah, or St. Louis and Georgia, no issue there, you would think. But I think a lot of us are looking at like the winner of TCU, Ohio State, the game that gets us going tomorrow. And you're like, winner of that game, you know, if they're on, they could give Duke a game. So I think Duke, because you got that game, you got potentially Kansas and St. John's lurking. Femi, I think they're probably the most vulnerable one at this point.
So, PJ Glasser, let's talk that 8-9 matchup in the East region, the very first on the round of 64 Thursday, tomorrow afternoon, 12:15 p.m. Eastern time on CBS. It's the 8 seed in Ohio State and the 9 seed in TCU. The Horned Frogs, a slight underdog, catching 2.5 points. But we know TCU's resume can stack up there with anybody in terms of quality victories this year. Neutral site wins over Florida, Wisconsin, road victory in Lubbock against Texas Tech, a home win against Iowa State. So when you look at this game between the Buckeyes and the Horned Frogs, and a team that might present a challenge to Duke in the round of 32, who gets there on Saturday?
I think it's going to be TCU. I think it's going to be a heck of a game, but I did take the Horned Frogs plus the points. I think they win. Ben, you just alluded to, I mean, some of the wins that they had during this season, Big 12 play, how good they were in the non-conference. But guys, a lot of times for me, when we have games like this between two Power 5 teams and it's a tight point spread, I think what conference you played in is a big deal. How often do we see in these tournaments every Thursday when we start getting to the 7 Eastern time games and it's the Big 12's 5-0 so far today, the ACC's 6-1 so far, right? You see a lot of that stuff. So usually you see conferences either have a lot of success or struggle in the first round. I think the Big 12 is the best league in the country, and I think the Big 10 is going to disappoint. So because of that, I think TCU is going to get us started, and I think they win that game. It should be a really good one. And again, whoever wins, I'm going to bet them plus the points against the Blue Devils, but I'll roll with TCU tomorrow.
All right, going with the Horned Frogs. PJ, we got about 2.5 minutes left. I want to get your thoughts on this one because we see this happen every year in college basketball. There's that hot, high-major team that wins its conference tournament, and everyone wants to fall in love with them. Last year, it was St. John's winning the Big East. A couple years ago, Auburn, they lost to Yale after winning the SEC. How about Arizona losing to Princeton? Who is that team this year amongst, like, Duke, St. John's, Vandy, Purdue, Arkansas? Is there that team that you think will ultimately disappoint here in this first weekend?
I think it's Iowa State, Femi, because I think so many people fell in love with what they saw in the Big 12 tournament. They blew out Texas Tech. They went toe-to-toe with Arizona, losing on that Jaden Bradley game winner. And it's like the same team. I mean, this is what Iowa State is every year. Now, they're really good, but they're always great defensively. They have their moments. Mochilevich, Lipsy, Jefferson. I mean, these guys have been in this program for a while, but I think so many people are so caught up in what they saw in those couple days in Kansas City that they're forgetting when we get to March Madness, Otzelberger's never been to an Elite Eight. He's never been to a Final Four. They, you know, they always have like an offensive stinker. With Iowa State, the fear is that they're going to show up one game and score 55, 60 points. So I get it. When they're playing their A game, they're as good as anybody. But I would just caution people that, like you said, Femi, there's usually a bunch of teams, couple teams every year that do well in conference tournaments, and people are so focused on those couple games that you forget the entire body of work, or you forget when we get to March Madness, it's a completely different season. I think Iowa State falls into that. So I think that winner of Tennessee-Virginia round of 32 game, when they match up with them in the Sweet 16, has a good shot at knocking them out. I know a lot of people have them in their Final Four, but Iowa State would be that team that worries me.
30 seconds, PJ. Who's in your Final Four? Who's winning the national title?
So I think it's going to be chalk on the right-hand side of the bracket, chaos on the left-hand side. I got St. John's, Vandy on the left. I got Michigan, Arizona on the right. I think it's going to be Arizona versus St. John's. And oh, help me, fellas. Tommy Lloyd wins it all, gets over the hump, and he does it.
There we go. Arizona cutting down the nets in Indianapolis on the first Monday in April. He is PJ Glasser, our VSiN teammate, although he's just slandered the Cyclone, so I don't know how much I like PJ right now as someone who has an affinity for Iowa State. Yeah, Cyclones Anonymous indeed. Game Day Garage, Hoops in 5 on Twitter at PJ Glasser 9. Enjoy the hoops. Good luck with the bets. We'll talk to you soon, PJ.
Appreciate you, fellas. Enjoy the games.
That is PJ Glasser joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'll ask Ben that question coming up. Who's the hot team, quote unquote, that might be bounced in the first weekend?
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking to put your March tournament knowledge to the test at the highest level, this one's for you. Splash Sports is offering a $1 million guaranteed contest prizes in a high-stakes Survivor contest. 1,000 to enter, 1 million on the line. It's NFL Survivor, but for the big dance. Just make one pick per day, and you cannot use the same team twice, which adds a little strategic element. Outlast everyone else, and you're in for a share of $1 million. And right now, new players using promo code VSINMM26 get a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free Quick Picks entry up to $20 on them, plus a 100% Quick Picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Entries close March 19th. Don't wait. Head to splashsports.com/VSIN and use code VSINMM26. Must be 21 plus, available in select states only. Deadline, it's actually tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern. Welcome back. This is VSIN Primetime. Femi and Bebefe, Ben Stevens, hanging out with you guys on this March Madness Eve. Thank you to our VSIN teammate, PJ Glasser, who joined us in the last segment, giving out his picks for the NCAA tournament. I will say, we were talking about this during the break, Ben. That's two guests, two Arizonas. It's early. We got Michael Calabrese of the Action Network coming up to start hour number two. We got Nate Hornig. We got Greg Peterson. But so far, two guests, two Wildcats. Bear down the theme here in this first hour of VSIN Primetime.
Femi, you know that we were together on Selection Sunday, in the early afternoon hours. We were talking about our national championship picks. I went with Arizona. I feel pretty confident in what the Cats can do. I was on Cashing Out with Dustin Sweetelson on Monday, post-bracket reveal. Work with him on Saturdays. I know how his mind works. He's on Arizona earlier in the day today on VSiN. I was on Money Moves with Stormy and JVT. Stormy likes Duke. Jonathan Von Tobel likes Arizona to cut down the nets 19 days from now on a Monday night in early April in Indianapolis. Arizona seems to be that pick to win a national championship, and it is hard to knock that very idea. 12 wins against top 25 teams this year, the most before an NCAA tournament begins in the D1 college basketball memory bank. Wow. Beyond that, Femi, six of those top 25 wins against AP top 10 teams, the most nationally in the sport this year. I love what Arizona does because they focus defensively first. They play efficiently on the offensive side. They do not rely on the three, and their tempo can match anybody in terms of its speed. I love Arizona, but a West Coast team has not won a national championship since Arizona did so in 1997. We shall see. It's one of those funny things, whether it's filling out your bracket or a first-round bet that you love, especially when that team is booked as the underdog. As you start to talk to your friends and maybe your coworkers and everybody else likes that underdog or that national champion, you start to question yourself and get a little bit worried for a tournament that is called March Madness.
I mean, it's one of those things, right? If we're all thinking alike, no one's really thinking, Like it starts to feel that way a little bit with so many people on the Wildcats. And it felt like in February and even in early parts of March, in the early portion of March, Arizona was not necessarily flying under the radar, but they were kind of getting put off to the side and like this. I don't really trust it. It's probably going to be Duke or Michigan. It was Duke or Michigan. Florida came on. We were talking about, I mean, how many segments have we spent talking about the Florida Gators and being the team that keeps me up at night and all that stuff? Nobody really talking about Arizona. But, you know, Florida lost to Vandy. Duke is injured. Michigan haven't covered since LJ Kaysen got hurt. And then there's Arizona, who's looked like the best basketball team in America. So it makes sense. It's putting a lot of pressure on Tommy Lloyd. And we don't need to go down that tournament resume. We don't need to do it because everyone who loves Arizona is not going to want to hear that and how that has been going ever since he's taken over as the head coach of the Arizona Wildcats. So that's what people are picking to win the national title. We started this segment, came back from break, letting folks know about the Splash Sports Survivor contest that they can get involved with here for VSIN. Once again, VSIN MM26 to go out there and get all the promotions. Is there a survivor strategy or survivor pick that you have for the round of 64? Because once again, it's like the NFL survivor for those who might not know the rules. Like, hey, you pick a team, you cannot pick them the rest of the tournament. So you have to be strategic of, all right, who do I think is not going to be long for the tournament, but at least has an advantageous first round? Do you have a team that you've sort of identified in a survivor pool?
I would say, Femi, because in the conversation that we ended with PJ, who was a team that got hot during conference tournament week, trying to carry that momentum now into the big dance, and maybe one that we're all a little bit too hot on. You and I were live on Sunday during that SEC tournament championship game. We both pointed to Arkansas being that team potentially this year. Now, I love the Hogs, and I love Darius Acuff Jr. He is one of the best point guards that we have seen in recent memory, especially as a freshman in this sport. But I do think Arkansas, or potentially Wisconsin, however you see this game playing out, I think that 4-5 split, because they will face each other in the round of 32 on Saturday afternoon, would be a pretty good idea from a survivor perspective. Now, some think Wisconsin has a battle to get past High Point. I don't necessarily believe it's going to be as close as some do. I think that matchup favors the Badgers. And Femi, I kind of like Wisconsin in that second round potentially against Arkansas. Now, I love Hawaii, and I love the defensive intensity of the no-switch defense by Aaron Gannat and his Rainbow Warriors. I am really excited to see how that looks against the sixth most efficient offense in the country in those Arkansas Razorbacks tomorrow in the round of 64. But a lot of people have been highlighting Wisconsin. Our producer, Corey York, has said he really likes this Wisconsin
team
because of their ability to beat the best. Yeah, really, really likes this Wisconsin team. Femi, I have all the Big Ten flags behind me. There you see the Badgers. I was looking to fade Greg Gard and company come the big dance because of their matchup pitfalls, which is against a slow, grinded-out team where Wisconsin cannot score more than 75 points. The Badgers this year, in 21 games when they have scored at least 80, are 21-0. When they score 79 points or fewer, Wisconsin is 3-10. Wow. High Point plays fast. High Point will shoot the three. Up-tempo game. Arkansas has a top 25 pace in terms of what they do. Arkansas doesn't need to take the three, but they like to be very efficient offensively. High scoring, up-tempo game. I actually think Wisconsin's draw is pretty good for the Badgers to get to the second weekend for the first time in nearly a decade since 2017.
It's interesting because it depends on the size of your pool. Like, you laid out a great case there for Wisconsin, and I think Wisconsin's one of those teams. I think, me personally, I'd want to keep that bullet still in the chamber. Like, I want to, because I think there's a potential where if you can get real contrarian, let's say in a second round game, like you mentioned against against an Arkansas, or maybe if you really want to get contrarian, I mean, we just talk about how everyone loves Arizona. You know, like, if you want to use Wisconsin against Arizona in your survivor pool in the Sweet 16, might not be the most optimal strategy, but hey, like, from a game theory standpoint, you would get a significant leg up on the rest of the pool. So depending on the size of the pool, it just kind of, that will tell you what you need to do from a craziness standpoint if you want to get real wild here. I like to get real wild. That's how I play NFL Survivor. Also, probably why I've never won NFL Survivor. Shout out to our friends here at Circa. One day I'll win. That day has not yet come, which is why I'm still working. But I will say this. A team that I am looking at that I think could pull off enough, because I'm going to pick a dog. Like, I usually don't pick dogs in the NFL. Wow. I pick kind of short point spreads. I'm actually going to probably pick a dog in a survivor pool. I would pick a dog that's kind of a short dog that you don't think he's going to hang around much longer. You know how I feel about the Cyclones. I think Santa Clara can beat Kentucky, but I don't think they can beat Iowa State. So for me, Santa Clara would actually be the team, even though they're less than 50% to win the game. And I'll pull up the point spread right now to get the exact number right now. Because spoiler alert, I bet the Broncos +4.5 against Kentucky. But I want to get the most recent point spread to see where we're at. And we're down to 3. So like, it's a little bit crazy. They're +140 on the money line, but it's not like I'm picking like an 8-point underdog in my survivor pool. If you could get in what could potentially be a coin flip game, get a Santa Clara team home, and then all of a sudden in the second round, don't have to really worry about them because, like, hey, like, I don't think Santa Clara is going to be much long for the tournament. I just think that they can beat Kentucky. I think that's how I would attack this. Get a little bit contrarian and maybe a little suboptimal, but a team that I think is very much live as a bet of 4.5, no longer present as we now sit here at 3.
I think it's a really good look, Femi. I think you have to have that confidence in the team winning outright if you go with a short underdog in those close splits, 8, 9, 7, 10, heck, maybe even 11 seeds. When you look at South Florida, very trendy, of course, to knock off Louisville in the absence of Mykel Brown for the Cards. Another 11 seed that Ian Cameron highlighted, and I love as well, VCU to win outright over North Carolina in the absence of Caleb Wilson. That could be a way of approaching it too. There's another team that's a short favorite who I would also look at. It's the St. Mary's Gales. I think their tempo and their style of play wins the day against Buckyball and Texas A&M. I think they're a 4.5-point favorite right now. I would look at Randy Bennett and company. And then that second round matchup against Houston, probably where I favor the Cougs.
Yeah, I think there's so many different ways that we can go. We'll get the thoughts of our next guest who will join us at the top of the hour, Michael Calabrese of the Action Network, as we kick off hour number two of VSiN Primetime.